Today's Shir Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph in the second volume of Mishnah Berurah. We're in the middle of Siman Kuf Nun Aleph. We left off at the end of yesterday's Shir. We concluded the last words of Sif Vav, where we talked about a person not being permitted to come into a shul with a sakin oruch, with a long knife. I said we would discuss what's the halacha with other weapons in a shul. Rechmona Lutzlan, these are situations that are prevalent today nowadays with the terrorism in the world, and people in Eretz Yisrael certainly living under this type of fear for many years. So there's Chayalei Tzal, there are people that have neshek, they come into shul with a weapon. Is that permitted? So Dishu footnote number 45 brings down, Ule'in achnosas klei neshek lebeis hakneses. Is a person permitted to bring a weapon into the shul? So the Shelos Tshuvas Or Letzion writes, Osur lachdiso, one is not permitted to do this. And it's based upon the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Shekol klei zayin osur, any type of weaponry is forbidden in the shul. Elo imkain ein efsharus lahashiras haklei neshek b'chutz below shmira. But he says, he qualifies and says, unless you can't leave the neshek in a safe place. If there is no safe place to bring the neshek, so then you have to go bring the neshek into the shul. He says, im chaseu ba'ofen she'eno nikar mutar lasus kein b'kol ofen. And he says, if you can keep your neshek covered up, so then it certainly would be okay under all circumstances. And this is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah later on as well. And he brings down, this is the opinion of Rav Yashiv, Shim ein lo heichon l'shamro, if there is no place to put your weapon, rotsa l'spala b'tzibur, and a chayal etzal wants to go and daven in a minyan, so then perfectly permissible to bring the neshek into the shul. However, he brings down from the Sefer Tztaku Mishpat, and he says, im ein yochol hashir b'chutz, if you can't leave your weapon outside, so then he says, actually, that person should be better off davening b'yachidus than going into the minyan, into a shul with his weapon. The Shelos Tshuvas from the Tzitz Eliezer of Oldenburg Zatzal, Kosav, Kisha Eino Yochel Lahashir Saklei Neshek B'chutz, if you can't leave your weapon outside, and you can't keep it covered up, as we suggested as well, inside, then you can bring it into the Beis HaKnesses. He suggests take it apart so it's not functional. If it's not functional, it won't, quote, be able to be Mekatzer Yomim, which was the whole reason why we said you don't bring a weapon into the shul. Finally, he brings down another interesting discussion. What about bringing a seeing eye dog into the shul? So this already is discussed in the Igros Moshe from Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, who says certainly in Chutz Laretz this is permissible. And he brings down even in Eretz Yisrael, where they don't have the Tanai of the Beis Knesset as we do in Chutz Laretz, he says it's not a Bizoyon or Kalis Rosh to bring in a seeing eye dog because it's for the benefit of the person. Now we can go on to the Mechaber Siv Zayin. The Mechaber writes, Yochol Lorok Bo. A person is technically allowed to spit into a shul. We discussed this previously when we learned these halachos about spitting during the davening, the Shmona Esrei. Certainly not our custom to do this today, but it was prevalent in the past. So technically one is allowed to spit in the shul. However, Ubavad Shishav Shenu Baraglo, but the saliva on the floor, the roke, he should rub into the ground with his foot. Oshia Shom Gemi, if there's some sort of a reed over there or a mat, Shim Yorok Lisocholoyanira, so it won't be visible, the saliva that is, and therefore it would be acceptable. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Chavdala brings down, as we've already pointed out in Siman Sadi Zayin and Siv Beis, you can't do this in Milish Menesri, that's improper. And likewise, via Zor Shalo Yorok Nechaveru, Shimaspa, a person has to be very careful not to spit in front of his friend who will discuss this friend, and that's not a proper thing to do. He also brings down from the Ari, he was Nizor Mirikika, he wouldn't spit in a shul at all. The Sharat Zion and Siv Katan Tezvav brings down that this is a Midas Chasidus, however, Medina, technically one is permitted. Points out it's really improper for a person who would never spit in his own house. He comes to shul and spits, that's certainly improper. Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Chaf Hei writes, you have to rub the spittle into the ground with your foot. However, he points out, B'Shabbos, Sha'asu L'Shav Sheikh, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to rub it into the ground. Tishah footnote number 50 explains because of, this is Mash V'Gumo, so you're smoothing out the ground, you're smoothing out the holes, and that's a tolda of Bone. So what should you do, the Mishnah Berurah says, Yamid Haminol Olav Ad Shiyismayach, you put your foot over it until it is pushed into the ground on its own, so to say. Siv Katan Chavav Gemi, you spit into some sort of a reed. So he says, all tevin v'chol, or some sort of straw or sand or dirt, anything is fine, obviously just so that the spittle shouldn't be visible. Now we go to Siv Ches. The Mechaber writes, Titch al raglav, if you have filth or some dirt on your foot, roy lekaneach kodim shikonetz l'spal, you shouldn't go into shul with that dirt on your foot, you should wipe it off. V'roy shalo yehi olav v'lo abigodav shum lichluch. And likewise, you shouldn't have any dirt on yourself or on your clothing when you go into the shul. A person should make himself proper and respectful when he goes into the shul, and that's with a ksus nekia, with nice clothing as well, as we've discussed previously. Certainly not dirty clothing. Siv Tes, the Mechaber writes, Noagim bahen kovod l'chabdon l'rabtzon. A person should treat the shul with respect. He should clean the shul. He should go and take care of the dirt floors. The Ramah explains, kibud means nikuya bais, means to clean up the house, to sweep it, let's say. Rebuts they used to have dirt floors. It means zrika samayim apnei karka. Means to pat down the dust of the dirt of the floor of the shul with some water. Lahavdil, you have the seventh inning stretch when they sprinkle water onto the infield so the dust doesn't rise so much. So lahavdil, that's the same idea over here. One should keep the shul nice and clean, and that's sometimes done by sprinkling. They would sprinkle water. Richer or more fancy people would go and sprinkle wine to provide an aroma that's very pleasant. And again, the idea here is to make the shul look as nice as possible. The Mechaber continues and he says, V'noagid lahadlik bohem neros lachavdil. And likewise, the minhag was to light candles in the shul also as a sign of kavod. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Chav Zayin explains, V'noagu lahadlik kodim shikonet sodom l'spalo. They would light the candles even before anybody went into the davin. Based upon the Gemara, Mishum Dabrinim a Gemara, Mokum shemispalim bo asara, wherever you have 10 people davening, so kod moshchin of asya, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes there first. So therefore, they would light the candles before anybody comes because they know they're going to have the minion, so the shchin is already there. And this is a covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ot shekenu yosim b'mikdosh. And likewise, this is what they did in the Beis HaMikdosh. It's brought down by the Eliyahu Rabbah in the Shem of the Kolbo. The Dirshu footnote number 52 explains that the minhag was to light candles in shul even when it was light outside and even if nobody was there yet. As this is the proper covet for the Beis HaKnesses. Brings down from the Ketzos HaShulchan that many shuls have the custom that they light an Ner Tomid, which is lit all during the day and the night. Again, this is L'Kovet Shemayim. And this is the Zecher to the Mikdosh that we mentioned, that the Ner Maravi was always Dolek in the Beis HaMikdosh. The Gemara tells us that that candle did not go out when the Jewish people were good. During the years of Shemana Tzadik, for example, it was lit all 40 years. And that is a reminder for us, this Ner Tomid that we light in our shuls nowadays. Sif Yud, the Mechaber writes, Afilu li'achar shecharvu adayin hem b'kdushasan. Even after a shul, Rachmanu l'Islam, is destroyed, it still retains kedusha. U'kishem shenoagin b'hem kovet b'yishuvan. And just like you have to have kovet for the shul while it's in existence, kach noagin b'churbanam. So too you have to have kovet and respect for the shul even after it's destroyed, Rachmanu l'Islam. However, chutz mikibud v'ribos. But you don't have to go and clean it. You don't have to go and spritz water on it on the dirt floor like you had to do when the shul was in existence. V'im olu b'hem asavim, the Mechaber says, if there's grass growing, there are weeds growing now where the shul used to be, toshin osam, you do rip them up, u'minichin osam b'mekomam mishum agbas nefesh, but you leave them over there, and this will demonstrate our anguish at the shul being still in a destroyed state. So people will see this, and they'll feel terrible, and they'll feel depressed, and they will try to go and rebuild the shul that's in its destruction. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Chav Ches writes that the Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos that are destroyed still have the Kedusha. Hatam d'chsiv vashimosi es mikdashechem, because Hashem says, I will destroy es mikdashechem, your mikdashos. It doesn't say, v'lo k'siv es mikdashechem, Hashemim, I will destroy your holy places, but putting the holy places first and then destroyed afterwards. To teach us, lo roslanu d'kdoshim heim afkeshem shomeimim. This is to teach us that the word mikdashechem is at the end of the pasuk to show that even after they're destroyed, they're still called mikdashechem. And he says, this doesn't make a difference whether it's a shul in Eretz Yisrael or a shul in Chutz Laretz, unless they made a tanai on the shul in Chutz Laretz, and then there would be a difference in halacha once it's destroyed. Dishu footnote number 53 does point out from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal that he feels that there's a difference between a shul that's destroyed in Yerushalayim versus a shul that's destroyed outside of Yerushalayim or elsewhere in the world. This is based upon the Rambam, who says that Yerushalayim's Kedusha is always permanent, lo paka ayde kibush, it doesn't get ruined by being taken over by a foreign country, and therefore the shuls in Yerushalayim have a different halacha. And even though Goyim and Rachmanu l'Islam have come to destroy it, it doesn't lose its kedusha at all. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Chav Tes writes that you have to uproot the weeds, but you leave them over there. Rotz Lomar Mutul L'Shlosh Osam. He says you're allowed to go and uproot the weeds over there. Ubavad She'nichem B'Mekomam V'Lo Yitlei Misham. But you shouldn't remove them from there and make it nice and clean and a non-destroyed appearance to it. But Bedavka, we want that destroyed appearance. We want the weeds growing over there to have people's mercy be aroused that they will rebuild it. Sivkot and Lamed, the Mishnah writes, Kadesh Shiyiru, so people should see this. Lafida, therefore, Bim Sosru Besakneses, Vimokum Zeo Benu, Bimokum Acher, if a shul was taken down from one place and rebuilt in another place, Vain Bedaitim Livnoso Bimokum Rishon, and there's no interest in going back to the original place and rebuilding the shul over there, so then, Ain Shayach Din Zeh, this din doesn't apply. How, what should you do? Eliyasu Goder Sivov, you just build a fence around that old place, Shloyavol Zalzashon, so people shouldn't do some sort of a deprecating type of work over there. If you move b'makom shuchel limkor, and if it's in a place where you could sell it, kenizkor b'simen kuf nun gimel, as we'll learn in a few days, yimkeru, you do have the permission to sell it according to the Taz. The issue footnote number 54 has a fascinating discussion about what is the status of the bricks of the Kosel Maravi. He says, in regards to cleaning the bricks of the Kosel Marabi from the stains that they may have on them, from the blackness that they may have on them, Shuvayashiv brings down, Ein lechadesh es pnei avnei ha-kosel. You don't have the right to go and clean up the stones of the Kotel Marabi and to remove the blackness from them or any of the grasses that are growing on them. Ela, lahashir es ha-kosel Marabi kemoshu. You should leave the Kosel Marabi exactly as it is, because this causes agmas nefesh in a person when he sees it in its destruction state. And hopefully a person will see it in this way and will daven with more cheshek and with more kavana, and he'll daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that should return b'mehera yameinu to its rebuilt state. He points out, me'ikar adin, however, you technically would be allowed to, because this really wasn't the wall of the Azara, but this is the wall of the surrounding Har HaBayis wall. But he adds, however, that nevertheless, it still is very correct that one should maintain the plaza area properly, and this is a Beis HaKnesses in essence, and therefore it's certainly very appropriate to maintain and beautify the plaza area in front of the Kotel. Sif Yud Aleph, the Mechaber writes, Im b'shaz binyan Beis HaKnesses hisnu alav lihishtamish bo. If at the time, and it's noticed specifically when they're building it, not after it's built, but at the time that they're building a shul in Chutz Laretz, and they make a tanai on it to say that we want to use it for purposes of a shul, or also purposes as a social hall or some other type of usage that's not a negative or terrible usage, so then mutu lihishtamish bo b'churbano. Then you are allowed to go and certainly use that shul, Rachmon al-Islam, if it's destroyed, for any purpose that you want that's not a terrible purpose, not a bad purpose. However, I will be yeshuvo while the shul is in its existence, lo mahani tanai. The Mechaber brings down this first opinion over here, that the tanai does not help for while the shul is in existence. The tanai is only helpful when the shul is destroyed. Va'afilu b'chobano, and even when it's destroyed, letashim shvaguna, as I already mentioned, for a deprecating type of usage, for example, kigon zuriyo v'cheshbonos, for planting over there, or for doing some sort of calculations, even if they're shalrabim, even if they're for the public, lo mahani tanai, then the tanai doesn't help in this situation. But then the Mechaber says, under what situations are we talking about that you can only use the shul atznai after its destruction? That's b'bote k'nisil shebechutz laretz. That's talking about the shuls in chutz laretz. Avo b'bote k'nisil shebechutz yisrael, lo mahani shum tznai. Then a tznai, even after its destruction in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't help. A shul is always a shul, and the kedusha cannot be taken away, and you can't use it for other purposes, even if you made a tznai at the time that it was built. Mr. Buri in Siv Kutin Lamed Aleph writes, Avol Yachar Kach, if you made the tznai after it was built, lo mahani tznai klal. He brings down the name of the Bach and the Olas Tomid, that then it's too late. You have to make the tznai at the time that it's being built and not after it's built. Siv Kutin Lamed Beis, the Mishnah Berurah says, if they made this tznai, mashma the dafka shehisnu beferish, they have to verbalize this tznai and actually state it. Avol bistoma, if they didn't, you can't just assume. Lo amrinun al tznai hinasuyus, and we don't say that it's automatically made al tznai. This is the opinion of the Magen Avraham. However, the lo ki masas bin yomin, the masas bin yomin disagrees with this Magen Avraham, and the El Yerabah's mitzadi dodino ki masas bin yomin shemeku bezeh. The El Yerabah concludes that the masas bin yomin's lenient opinion is more correct. Chavetz Chaim in the Shaar HaTzion Sifkot Nutez brings down that the Or Zeruah also holds like this masas bin yomin. But he says one should not be makel in this situation, because the Magen Avraham does say that it's usur, as do many other poskim. And even the El Yerabah isn't saying definitely he passes like the Masas bin Yomim, and he leaves it with the Tzarech Iyan. So therefore, certainly, it would be preferable to verbalize such a tznai if that was indeed the intention. Sivkot Laman Gimel b'churbano, but once this is destroyed, if you did make the tznai, you could use it. Pirush, what does that mean? Also, tznai mo'el shle'achar sheyechwa b'yamut l'shtamishbo. That the tznai that you made when you built it was that if and when it does get destroyed, Rachmana Litzlan, then you have the right to use it for other non-degrading types of usage. Avo kozman shekayemes, but while the shul is still in existence, ain't tznai mo'el, then the tznai doesn't help at all. Sivkot Laman Dalet, b'yishuv alo mahani. As we just explained, the Mechaber had said that while the shul is in existence, the type of tanoim do not help. And he says, "V'davka la'achila u'shtiyah." This is talking about the tanoim doesn't help for eating or drinking. Or likonis b'chama b'ne'achama u'b'gishama b'ne'agishama. Or to enter into the shul when it's hot because of the heat, or when it's raining because of the rain. The yesh b'zeh mishum kalas rosh, because these things lead to a lightheadedness. However, avol l'shar tashmishim mahani tanoi. But he brings down the Magen Avraham, who says that for other types of usage, which won't lead to lightheadedness, then a tanoi does help. He then says Ayin in the Bir Halacha, which we'll look at in a moment. But first, Sivkot and Chaf in the Shar HaTzion, the Chavetz Chaim writes, the Kosher King you certainly can't do with a Tznai, Schok, Vihitu, Vesicha, Betela. You can't do all sorts of other real lightheaded things which we said are prohibited in the Shul in general. Certainly you can't even do them with a Tznai. He says, Bevadai lo mahani Tznai. Certainly a Tznai can't help to do something inappropriate in the Shul. He brings down the oldest Talmud, who says, Afilu b'churbanu asur. And these types of activities are forbidden even after the Shul is destroyed, even though you made a Tznai, as these activities certainly are not better than Cheshbonu Shel Rabin, which we just said are asur as well. Now, the Bir Halacha in Dibur HaMaskil, Avol B'Yeshuvo, brings down several shitos in regards to this idea of making a Tanai. He first brings down the shita of Tosus and the Rosh, the B'Yeshuvo lo Mahani Tanai u'b'chubanu Mahani. That's the shita that we brought down, that during the time that the shul is in existence, the Tanai doesn't help, but after the shul is destroyed, Rachmanu Litzlan, then a Tanai that was made originally when it was being built does help. He then brings down the sheet of Rashi and the Or Zeruah, who say that even with B'Yeshuvah, when the shul is in existence, you can make it tonight, and this is the most makel opinion. He brings down then the most machmir opinion, which is the sheet of the Ramban, the Ran, and the Rashba, Afilu b'chubanun lo mahani tonight, that even with a tonight, you can't use the shul for these purposes, even if it's destroyed, unless it's under most extenuating circumstances. There's a kula in here as well, however, he says, if it's under really extenuating circumstances, then the tonight could help even while it was in existence as well. Chavetz Chaim concludes and he says, from the Taz, it appears that under extenuating circumstances, one can rely upon this Ramban, that even in its Yishuv, while it's in existence, under extenuating circumstances, you can use it if you made it tonight, and this is in fact the Din. And he says, certainly, Rashi and the Or Zeruah agree to this, even when it's not under extenuating circumstances, while Achaz Kama V'Kama, under extenuating circumstances. However, he says, for Kalus Rosh, Mamish, Kegon Schok, Vihitu, Chayotzibo, Pshitud Lo Mahani. That types of activities, the slight-headed activities, they certainly are never good, even with a Tanai. Sivkot Laman Hey, the Mishnah Berurah writes, you can't plant there. Pashut, Duha, Din L'chol Advarim, and Iskron, L'kamen, B'Simen Kufnun Gimel, Siv Tes. All the things that we'll learn in a couple of days in Simen Kufnun Gimel that you're not allowed to do in a shul, you can't do it over here too. Dehem Tashmish Maguna B'Yosef, because these are all very types of disgusting activities that are certainly not permissible when you make a Tanai, as we'll see in Kufnun Gimel, you're not permissible at other times as well. Sivkot Laman Vov, the Mishnah Berurah says, you're not allowed to make the calculations for the Rabbim, because the Avshe Milsa, this is like a public type of a thing that makes a lot of noise, V'yesh v'zeh mishum kalas rosh b'yose, and it leads to too much lightheadedness. Mashmi Prima Godim, he brings down from the Prima Godim, the Cheshbonu Shel Yochid b'churbanu Mutter, but as opposed to an individual's calculations, if the shul is destroyed and it had a Tanai beforehand, you would be allowed to use it for that, because the Lazem Moel Tanai, the Tanai helps over here, because it won't be a big lightheaded public display. Brings down from the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, Mashma, the Noket Shel Rabim, it specifically said Shel Rabim Ovei L'Rehusa. That's to add on. The Avshu Tzorech Rabim, even though it's a Tzorech Rabim, it's no good. The Kol Shekein Shel Yochad, the opposite. He says an individual certainly can, and even the Rabim you can't, even though it's a Tzorech Rabim. Sivkot Lamed Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah writes, this is good for Chutz La'aretz, She'ein Kedushas and Olametz, because the shuls in Chutz La'aretz don't have permanent Kedusha. Sharek Yishayovo, a goal b'meher b'yomeinu, Mitzvah Shem, Mashiach's coming soon, and he will go bring all these shuls to Eretz Yisrael, Tivka Kedushas, so that place in Chutz La'aretz will lose its Kedusha. Mashiein came with what they can eat, Shabar Yisrael, as opposed to the shuls in Eretz Yisrael, that never will lose their Kedusha. Finally, Sivkot Lamed Ches, the Mishnah Berurah writes that a Tanai doesn't help in Eretz Yisrael. Lefi Das HaMogen Avrom Le'el B'Sivkot Lamed Dalet Gam Be'Eretz Yisrael Mahani Tanai. The Mogen Avrom does say that a Tanai does help in Eretz Yisrael, at least for certain things, L'Shar Tashmish and Shemim Kalos Rosh, for things that aren't too excessive in lightheadedness. That concludes today's shir.